Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Well, coronavirus. Amen. I just had to get that out of my system. And that's not a joke by any stretch of the imagination, but I felt like I just needed to say that out loud just now because, you know, Pastor Nikki had shared on Mother's Day, and she was talking, and it really was something that struck me. Pastor Nikki's a very wise person, if you guys don't know that already. There's so many times that she'll say things, and I'm like, I've never thought of that. I didn't know if I even agreed with that before you said it, but amen. And she was talking on Mother's Day, and she said, you know, we don't have to act like this isn't happening. We don't have to pretend as if nothing is going on. We actually have the ability to be aware while although responding from the perspective of the kingdom. Guys, this is where we are, right? Like, this is what's happening. We don't have to act like we are not only able to have 50 people at a time. This is actually what's taking place. And so I've honestly wrestled whether or not I should even mention that portion of it, but my apostle said so, so there's no argument there. You know, this is just where we are. This is what's taking place. But that's okay because we're still going somewhere. And that's the exciting part. We're still going somewhere. We're still moving. Like, Jesus is still moving. King Jesus is still doing things. Our Father in heaven is still at work. Can you believe that the God of heaven has the audacity to stay active during quarantine? That's crazy, but he's absolutely doing it. And he has the ability to move outside of our time and outside of our parameters. And this is just kind of where we're going today. Honestly, I just feel like it's necessary for us to be able to understand where we are in order to have perspective for where we're going. Amen? Awareness is a really big deal. I think about the living creatures in heaven. It's because of awareness. It's because of their awareness of the goodness and beauty of the Lord that allows them to respond in one of the greatest expressions of devotion and worship that we have ever seen recorded in history, right? It's because of their awareness. And, you know, I really believe that it's important for us to kind of step into this thing. So you guys okay with going on a journey with me for a little bit today? Y'all okay with that? You can talk to me. I know we're not allowed to, like, you know, shout and, like, sing whatever, you know, and it's okay. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But you know, you can say amen or shout me down or wave your hand and say, that's right, Pastor, you know, however you want to do that. But we're just gonna kind of continue. I was listening to this song by Upper Room. I know most people are kind of familiar with Upper Room. There was a song that I was just kind of in my quiet time, and it was that song, Surrounded, right? It's like, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I'm not going to sing. I'll just talk the words, because then you guys will wonder why I'm not on the worship team, and then it'll just start stuff, and I don't want to do that. But I was listening to this, and it was cool because, you know, I am actually married to a worship leader, so even when I'm not listening to worship, I'm probably still listening to worship. And there it was this part of the song where it says, you know, there's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. And it actually made me think about another really important passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is actually my favorite account of the Last Supper. It's Paul's account. And in verse 23, here's what he says. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed," everybody say, on the night when he was betrayed, "he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25 says, "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant.'" Everybody say, "New covenant. In my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And it's so interesting because it says on the night that he was betrayed. And, you know, usually whenever you have dinner or you have supper, like, I just had a birthday not too long ago, and we had a couple of people around just to celebrate. It was my birthday. So I was like, praise God. I had some cheesecake and I had some gushers, and you guys, that doesn't matter, but that's a big deal to me. I felt honored. And, you know, whenever we have Christmas, right, our family gathers around, right? Whenever Thanksgiving takes place, our family gathers around. It's special occasions that are marked, and we actually are able to come together as a family, and special things take place during that time. And so Paul actually doesn't even communicate necessarily the time frame that what's happening in around the feast itself. What he said is the occasion that marked this moment was the fact that Jesus was being betrayed. This was the occasion of this moment, and it was in the middle of his betrayal in the same region where he was to be ultimately delivered and murdered in the presence of those who had and would eventually betray, deny, and fail him. There he was, seated at the table. And was he arguing with them? Absolutely not. Was he chastising them and angrily just berating them and blaming them for what was taking place? Absolutely not. He was actually found seated in a seat of peace, receiving the bread of life, giving thanks, and establishing a new covenant with his family who were ultimately going to fail him in the end anyways. And this is something that's so interesting because I think about this picture and I say, man, how was Jesus able to have, what kind of perspective state must he have been in order to facilitate a moment like this under these circumstances? And let me tell you something. I believe that the inner world that the Lord has prepared for us is so much more real than what's around us. Every single time, the inner world of the Spirit, the inner world of what Jesus is actually moving in and brings us into is so much more real than anything that could be taking place on the outside. There's a culture in the city of Calgary, right? There's a culture of the city of Edmonton, right? We know that. We read about it. There's a culture of the city of London, Ontario, the state of Florida where I'm from. But seated in the midst of that same culture is a superior culture that I believe that's in my home. There's a culture that's inside of this church. There's a culture that's inside of our kingdom family. And how the city does things emotionally or reactionally is actually irrelevant. And the culture that rules and reigns in this family is the culture that's of the house that we're seated in. And that's family, and that's devotion, that's revival, and that's hope. Amen? And so ultimately, that's just what this is. And if you can understand that and align yourself with that, you can realize that this expression and what's found in the culture of the kingdom is available at every single moment of your life, if you align yourself with it. Family, there's peace available right now if you choose to align yourself. There's hope available right now if you choose to align yourself. The kingdom is still at hand regardless. Amen? And there's a phrase that my mom used to use all the time when I was younger. There's actually a lot of phrases that my mom used all the time when I was younger, and most of them are probably not appropriate for live stream purposes, but I'm just kidding. My mom was awesome. but there was this one, whenever I would have a friend over the house, and if he, you know, was acting a certain way or doing something that my mama didn't like, my mom, I hope she's not watching live stream this morning, but my mom would see that, and she said, "Boy, not in my house." And there's times where I would be outside and spend time with my friends, and I would bring back some, you know, stuff that I should not be saying or comments or just attitude or whatever it might be, because I kind of got around some friends and I was like, maybe I can try this at my house, which was a terrible idea. And so I'd come home and I'd do something, and my mom would say, "Boy, not in my house. They might do that out there, but we don't do that in here." And I would try to argue back, which was also a terrible decision, and I would say, "Mom, like, Stevie's mom lets him do this," and she'd say, "Boy, I'm not Stevie's mama. They might do that at their house, but we don't do that in here." And let me tell you something, family. Like, listen, I watch the news just like you do. I see the reports just like you do. I understand the data and everything like that just like you do. But they might actually react in a pessimistic and fear-based mindset, but we don't do that in our house. They might actually allow, listen, they might allow everything that's going on the outside to produce something unhealthy on the inside of them. They might be okay with playing the game, but not in our house. They might freak out and let things begin to make their mind spin around, but I'm telling you, not in our house. Why? Because we have a Lord that prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We will be found seated in the seat of peace with our family, receiving the bread of life and giving thanks, because that is our seat. That's how things work in our house of the Lord. Amen. And I just believe that it's very vital for us to understand and grab a hold of this so that we have the ability to rightly receive what the Lord is doing in this hour. This is very important for us because, listen, King Jesus has had zero setbacks during this pandemic. And I fully believe that this is a moment where he's not, come on, only helping us to survive, but I believe that he desires to see us fully empowered with the Spirit of God in order to facilitate the spirit of revival that's actually still present in this city and in this region in our nation. Amen. I believe that he's really bringing us into a place of new territory, but we got to be able to steward it. If you believe that, say amen. Yeah. Or common amen if you're watching on live stream. Here's the reality. Wherever he sends us, Jeremiah 1:10 can happen. And I'm just going to read that to you. You don't have to turn to it. It says, "See, I have set you this day over nations and kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build, and to plant." And I love this. I like to kind of separate this into two parts, the four and the two, really quick. It says, he set you over nations and kingdoms for what reason? To pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow, and then to build and to plant. And obviously, the first portion sounds like destruction, right? Sounds like tearing things apart, but it will only sound like destruction if you don't perceive that what he's actually doing is he's making room to ultimately establish something new and better. Can you hear that this morning? It will only sound like destruction if you do not choose to recognize the fullness of what God is doing. And I love this because this is what the Lord can do anywhere through us and with us. In any point in time, through us and with us. In any place, through us and with us. And why do we believe that? Because he sent us there. And if he sent us there, he ultimately intends to establish his kingdom in that very same place. We see this in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus apostolically sends out the 72, right? He sends them out two by two into places that he was planning to visit. And I don't have time, but if I did have time, I would also show you that in Luke chapter 9, he actually sends out the 12. And we understand that 12 is actually a number of authority, right, and power. And so he sends out the 12 one chapter, and the next chapter he sends out 72. What's the difference between 12 and 72? Well, if you multiply 12 by 6, you get 72. And a lot of scholars believe that 6 means a lot of things, including the number of man. And so when Jesus sent out the 12, what he did was he multiplied 6, the power of man, by the power and the authority of heaven to ultimately establish 72 people that would go out two by two into 36 lands that Jesus planned to take dominion over. And so this is really special that Jesus does here. I'm not gonna read the whole passage, but it says again that he sent them out two by two into lands he planned to visit, to literally go and begin to prepare the way for the kingdom of God to come and be set. And I'm telling you, listen, no matter where you go, he will move and he will establish his kingdom. He will move and he will establish his kingdom. And I think this is important for us to understand, because we can then begin to know that wherever we are, or whatever the season or whatever is going on the outside, family, you can grow anywhere, you can see the will of God done anywhere, and you can see the culture of his kingdom established anywhere. Listen, I'm not minimizing maybe the significance of how you've been affected by this time, but I'm telling you, even still, he can move anywhere, and you can see the will of God done anywhere, and the culture of his kingdom has the ability to manifest in peace, in love, in truth, in rest, in fresh infilling in life, wherever it is that you are. And I just want us to be strengthened in that truth. And I don't just mean a physical place. I'm one of those weird people that actually believe that, the Lord has sent you to a specific family. Like, I don't just happen to have a last name called McDonald. I believe that I'm sent into a family called the McDonald's in order to make room for the kingdom of God to come in. And I think that if you actually understand that, maybe you will stop being so critical because your mom, dad, sister, and brother doesn't pray in tongues yet. And you can actually see yourself as someone who's sent to ultimately make room for the kingdom of God to come into that family. And I think also, the Lord sends us into time and in space. He sends us into places. I believe that it's not a coincidence that each and every one of you guys are actually alive and well in the year 2020 to ultimately manifest the goodness of God and allow your life to be an expression of his glory so that people can look at you and see Jesus in this year. Amen. And this is just the reality. I think about, the life of guys like Daniel. And listen, if people like that actually have the ability to be in an unfamiliar place and under an old covenant function in a heavenly reality, how much more do we have the ability to do the same thing? Since the beginning of time, this has always been God's intention. It's always been God's intention to walk with us. It's always been intention to empower us. It's always been his intention for you to be strengthened in him in order to take dominion over the earth. And that doesn't mean just to, argue with people and tell people, that you don't know what you're talking about, like you're going to die and go to hell if you don't listen to me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the king's domain. I'm talking about wherever you go, so does peace go. Wherever you go, joy goes. Whenever you ultimately enter into a room, people feel freedom in the room because you're present, so he's present. It's always been his intention for us to walk in this kind of power and truth. And it's always been heaven's desire for you. I believe one of the things that he's facilitating right now, and this is kind of the truth of where we're going, is ultimately to strengthen you and to send you into your spheres of influence. And I know that this is the kingdom message, but hear this, to be more equipped than you've ever been before, to be more strengthened than you've ever been before, to be more full of hope and boldness than you've ever been before, to facilitate the Great Commission that's not just about you preaching a message and having a platform, but also has everything to do with you being able to engage people with the love and truth of God, because he's always just wanted union with us and he's always wanted fellowship with us. I believe that you guys carrying a greater degree of this is really what he's doing. I'm talking about more vision than you've ever had before, more vision for the now, more vision for the coming, more awareness than you've ever had before. The greatest expression, could you dare to believe that even right now, God doesn't have to wait until things go back to normal for him to be able to move, but even in this time, listen, whenever stuff starts to get weird, that's when God starts to get creative. Whenever things actually look out of sorts, that's when God starts getting creative. You see this all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, where it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was everywhere. What does God do? He hovers. He hovers over that discombobulation or whatever. I hope that's a word. Discombobulated is a word, so I hope that's also a word. But he hovers over this unfamiliar, just out of sorts deal, and what happens? Creation bursts forth. Listen, it's in these kind of times that God starts doing stuff if you can see it. Amen? So I hope that in this time, you've been able to go deep in the place of devotion and strengthening yourself in the Lord. We've had a great time here on this team. We have been able to create, you know, daily devotional videos that we were doing. So I hope that you guys have been able to watch those, because we've had a blast doing it. And it was always our intention for us to really be able to give language and to just release things that we felt like God was doing in this hour, and for you guys to be able to grab a hold of that and allow those things to strengthen you, allow those things to empower you, and really just, again, just grab a hold to what God was saying and apply it to where you have been. Whether these recent changes have affected you greatly or just moderately, it's still an opportunity to be strengthened in the Lord. But I'll say this too, actually thought about this the other day, a whole nother side, that if you, let's just say you didn't do that, and I just really feel the Lord on this. Let's say that during this time you actually have not felt a lot of strength and you felt super drained. I actually believe by the Spirit of the Lord that he's wanting to strengthen you guys even mentally. I feel like those of you that have felt drained, that he wants to fill your cup to overflow again, like never before, really. I believe that he wants to strengthen you emotionally. Those of you that have felt emotionally stressed out, maybe you lost your job, or there's people that have been around you that have been affected by this, and it's just weighed a lot on you, maybe because you just set yourself in the place of prayer. The Father is empowering and bringing strength to you. And maybe some of you guys that have actually started to feel hopeless more than you felt full of faith, maybe you've dropped the ball on your devotional life a little more than you would have liked to, because you felt like it's just been too much. And I just want to specifically say to you that God sees you and you have not missed the boat. Is that okay? I know that's weird kind of coming from a charismatic kind of sector, but listen, the goodness of God is actually this. Number one, there's no condemnation in him. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. The goodness of God is this, that even when you miss it and don't see it, he's still making ways in the wilderness on your behalf regardless. Even if you don't see it, he's still putting rivers in the middle of a desert on your behalf regardless. I was listening to Pastor Nikki and the team do the song, I think it was Waymaker. The part where it says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're moving. And I thought about one of my favorite passages of scripture again in Isaiah 43:19. If you've heard me talk, you've probably heard me say this a billion times. And it says that, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Now it springs forth. He says, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I'm going to say again, the goodness of God is this. Whether you see it or not, he's making ways in the wilderness on your behalf. Whether we can see it and perceive it or not, he's still making rivers in the middle of a desert on our behalf. God is still moving. And I think, you know, one of the things that's important is for us to really understand his nature better than we used to. I feel like during this time, one of the things he's doing is really reshaping what we thought about his nature, what we thought about his goodness. Pastor Chris actually shares all the time, I believe it's what A.W. Tozer says, that how you see God is the most important part of your spiritual life. How you perceive the Lord. is one of the most important parts about your life with him. Romans 5, 6 and 8 actually attest to this. You don't have to turn there. But verse 6 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And verse 8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were weak, while we were sinners, while we actually deserved hell, when we lacked the fruit of the knowing the God that we were claiming to know, where it actually looked in the natural like we would not hold up our end of the bargain, that's whenever he saw us for who we truly were and decided we were worth his life to give. It was in those moments, again, so that's why it's actually not crazy to think about Jesus in the middle of people that were betraying him and were able to see who they truly were and says, "You're still worth it. I'm going to establish this new covenant for you. I'm going to make a way for you to ultimately come back into union with you." There's no greater sacrifice than a life that's fully given. And so what the Lord does is at the height of what would be considered division and what would be considered betrayal, he chose to give his greatest expression of devotion to us. And I think that that's something that we can really learn from the life of Christ, is that in craziness and turmoil and whenever things actually look extremely unfamiliar, that's whenever we can choose to ultimately step into our greatest degree of devotion and worship to the Lord. Amen? I'm telling you, these are the times if we're able to actually recognize this, when it's unsure and it's unstable, we praise and we press into him, because seeing him lifted up is actually the best thing that we could do. Seeing him enthroned is the best thing for us. And I just want to say this, man, because he is still moving. Amen? He is still moving. And this is the gospel of the kingdom, that on our darkest night, in the middle of our mess, he chose to make a way for us to be brought near. It's his joy to do things like this. It's his joy to whenever we're having our weird schedules and we can only gather 50 at a time, he's actually not thrown off. And this is whenever he's really strengthening and empowering us. Hear this, ultimately to facilitate what's actually going to be coming whenever everything, quote unquote, goes back to normal. Could you dare to believe? I wasn't here. I was actually driving. We were watching on live stream. I can't remember where. I think we were crossing the border, which is really cool. We were crossing the border, I believe, the night that you guys had your last True North Revival service, right? We were crossing the border that night, and we were watching, and my signal kept going in and out, but I was just getting rocked by the Lord. And I'm watching, man, this just super expression of what Jesus was doing, such a pure expression of worship. And such a hunger from the people of God. And you could just feel it even just being connected to this family. But could you dare to believe that the Lord actually doesn't need things to be normal in order to thrust you into a place of empowering you with the Spirit of God to ultimately be thrusted out of that place to steward the spirit of revival? This is the kind of mindset that we have to have. And here's what's crazy is that, you know, again, like I said, whenever it seems unfamiliar, he's actually establishing something beautiful. And I think it's important for us to understand that we have a part to play in this. That it's not just us saying, "All right, God, like where you're doing something, so I'll just kind of wait till you're done." Like, allow yourself to be connected to it. Allow yourself to get right in the middle of it. I can't imagine knowing that God is doing something and not allowing the fullness of my life to be attached to it. And I think sometimes that also has to do with us not wanting to get uncomfortable and not liking the discomfort. But here's the reality, is that naturally as people, as human beings, it's human nature really, that we don't really like to lose our normal way of life. Right? Like, we will fight to maintain a way of life. Being from the United States, I actually see this all the time. Listen, I love America, but I know one thing that you just see pretty regularly, especially from kind of the area that I'm from, is that whenever there's things that are challenged, if people's way of life, the way that they did it and their grandparents did it and all their ancestors did things, when those kinds of things start being challenged, then they just want to fight and they don't want to let go of it. But here's the deal. Whenever we continue to hold fast to that kind of mindset, we can actually miss the good thing that God's doing in the midst of the unfamiliar. And so I think it's very important, once again, to kind of see that. And I'm going to give this final story, and we're kind of going to jump into a little bit different of a direction and kind of close tonight. Is this okay, though? I'm having fun today. I'm having a lot of fun. Pastor Chris talked about a story not too long ago. I think it was actually last Sunday. He was talking about the story of whenever Jesus fed the 5,000 with the fish and the loaves. And I'm going to read that real quick in John 6. I don't even think I gave them this, but I'll just kind of start reading. It says, a large crowd is following Jesus because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. It says, Jesus went up on the mountain and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing a large crowd that was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And it says he said this to test him, for he already knew what he was going to do. Don't you love that? God's like, hey, what do you think we should do? I already know what I'm going to do, but I just want to hear you. And I think that shows multiple things. One, that Jesus is funny, but also that he actually desires for us to work with him. Amen. And so verse 7, it says, Philip answered, and he said, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get even a little bit. Verse 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, there is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, love, Jesus always gives thanks before he does stuff, he distributed them to those who were seated. That's a word right there. So all the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, now gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets. How many baskets? 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed is the prophet who has come to the world. Now, there's a lot of things that are really interesting about this story. I'm not going to go super deep into it. I think this is all really a message in itself. But the first thing that's interesting is that the story as a whole really, number one, shows Jesus's heart towards people who desire him. If you read I believe that all the Gospels have this story. And I believe it's Luke's account of this story, if I'm not mistaken, that actually mentions that Jesus had said to his disciples, we can't send them home because they've come all this way just to be with me. We're not going to send them home. One, they won't make it because they're hungry. They're gone off, I believe it was like for 3 days, and so I would imagine that they hadn't even eaten. And Jesus says, we're not going to do that because they came all this way just to be in my presence. I think that shows so much about Jesus' heart towards people who just desire him. And if you just choose to be in his presence, everything that you need will be taken care of. Number two, Pastor Chris made a point last week that they actually sat down in groups of 50. Which, if there was 5,000 in number, then that would have been 50 groups of 100, if I'm right. I think I'm good at math. And so there are 100 groups of 50, roughly. And when they sat down in groups of 50, it's interesting because right now, in this season, as we're entering back into a very, I believe it's going to be a powerful expression in time when things do go back to normal, but right now, in this preparation stage, which I told you that God is empowering you in, we are right now seated in multiple locations in groups of 50. And so what happens after this is that whenever everybody had eaten their fill and had gotten filled and had gotten empowered, come on, with what Jesus was actually doing, what he had actually miraculously made available for them, there was actually 12 baskets left over. Once again, the number of authority, a number of apostolic power. And so here's a deal that we actually believe that during this time, as we're being empowered by the Spirit of the Lord, and we can recognize this, what's going to happen is that we will be thrusted forth from this season with the greatest expression of power, with the greatest expression of the anointing, and the greatest expression of revival that we have actually ever seen. Even if you've been in this church for a long, long time, I'm telling you, we have not seen anything yet. And so the third thing is interesting about this story is the unfamiliarity. There's a lot of unfamiliar things. Number one, the people left with no food. Not that fasting was uncommon, but they obviously were like, listen, Jesus is going over here and here's what he's doing. So we're actually just going to leave everything just so we can be with Jesus and get in his presence. So there was not food present. Then you also have the disciples who I don't believe they would have made the comment of, Jesus, why don't we just send them away? I don't believe they would have even said that had that not been something that they were used to doing. And so when Jesus said no, immediately they were into some kind of unfamiliar territory because they're like, Jesus, they don't have food. You said we're not sending them. Like, I don't know what you want us to do. And then you have this little boy who has just some fish and some loaves of bread where, I don't know, maybe his mom just gave it to him, but this is all he had and they're asking for it. And again, this is a place of unfamiliarity where he's like, well, I don't want to, you know, whatever, maybe you guys can have it. But what happened was, hear this, even in the unfamiliar place that they were in, even in the maybe uncomfortable situation that they were in, Jesus was present, and they chose to be obedient. So what happened? Each and every one of them actually were pulled into a supernatural encounter with the Lord. And now, years and years from then, we are here in the year 2020 allowing that to testify of what we believe Jesus is doing right now. And I'm telling you, if you allow this to be a moment where you can even see through the unfamiliarity, trust Jesus, and allow yourself to be pulled into a miraculous moment, this will be something that's talked about years and years from now, that people will be able to say, I remember back in 2020 after coronavirus hit and people allowed themselves to be strengthened in the Spirit of the Lord, and I believe he can do it right now. This obedience thing is important during this time because, again, this kid, man, I don't know how old he was, but he obviously, and man, I love this, he trusted Jesus more than he feared the consequences of losing something that possibly belonged to him. Hear this. He trusted Jesus more than he feared the consequences of losing something that ultimately belonged to him. And I just want to pause and say this. I think a mistake that a lot of church people make is that we kind of take everything super personal. I might make some people mad, but it's okay. If I get in trouble, I just will and I'll take it. But a lot of times we take everything so personal, and what happens is that we actually begin to take on an unnecessary victim mentality and begin to think that every single thing that happens is actually a war against the church and the body of Christ, and you actually miss that God is doing something very special right now because you're too busy complaining. Listen, guys, family, either we're in his hand or we're not. Either he's present with us or we're not. Either he's a good God that specializes in making something out of nothing or he's not. I'm telling you, listen, as of right now, our church is not being destroyed and Pastor Chris Mathis has not been arrested for preaching the gospel. So as for me and my family, we will still rejoice and give thanksgiving because we believe that King Jesus is doing something special even right now. If you believe that, say amen. I just believe this. I just believe this. I'm telling you, if you can see this temporary inconvenience as a season of actually being clothed in the Spirit and life of Christ, you will have a leg up on the rest of the planet. You will have a leg up on the rest of the planet. The scriptures are full of significant figures of testimony who had seasons and moments of experiencing a shift in the way that they did things. But ultimately, hear this, those became moments where they were clothed with power. They became moments where they were clothed with supernatural power of the Spirit of God. And I'm actually just going to give you guys just three important examples of empowerment that came upon people that ultimately enabled them to facilitate massive moves of God. Three important examples of empowerment that came upon people that enabled them to facilitate massive moves of God. You guys don't have to turn here. You can just write them down. But the first one is Jesus and the disciples in Luke chapter 24, and you can actually, if you're taking notes, Luke chapter 24 through Acts chapter 2. Luke wrote both of these books. Acts is a continuation of Luke. Just some, you know, nerd stuff if you didn't know that. But I love this because I love how these two books actually really flow together. Luke gives a lot of really important details and examples to things. And so here's what he says. It says that Jesus, of course, had just died, rose back from the dead, and he was chilling with his homies or fellowshipping with the disciples, however you want to say it. And he was hanging out with them. And of course, he was like eating fish and like chilling. Like it would be so crazy. Like for me, I put myself in the story and Jesus had already died, which was a big deal. He came back to life, which was a super big deal. And then he shows up and he's like, hey, y'all cook me some fish. And I'm like, okay, sweet. And so he's there present with them. And he's talking, and one of the things that it says that he opened up their minds, I love this, opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. Opened up their minds to understand the scriptures with a capital S, meaning him, who is the word. So what Jesus did is he actually opened up their mind to understand, one, himself, for them to understand himself, but also I can imagine that they begin to understand things that he had spoken, things that he had done, things that he had said that they didn't understand. I don't know about you, but there's stuff about the Lord that I don't really understand, but I trust him anyway, amen? And so in this moment, Jesus began to reveal some things to them. And then after that, it says this, Jesus spoke and said, a few days from now, you're going to be endued. Everybody say endued. Endued with power from on high. He says, a few days from now, you're going to be endued with power from on high. Actually, he talks about it being a promise. And so, of course, we understand that after that, you know, a bunch of people heard it, but only 120 people actually made it into the upper room. I think it's very important for us to also recognize that, listen, everybody can hear the word, but not a lot of people are willing to grab a hold of it and seek God until they see it come in its fullness. I believe we have a word over this house. I believe you have a word over your family. I believe we have a word over this city, and I'm going to grab a hold of that thing and seek God until we see it come in its fullness. Amen. And so here's what they do. They go, 120 people, and we all know the story, right? There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Tongues as a fire sat on each one of them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they began to be empowered with the Spirit of the Lord. And this word endued, the reason why I had you repeat it is because it comes from, it's translated into this word called, it's enduo. Enduo. Don't ask me how to spell it. I'm not really a Greek scholar, but you can look it up. But it's enduo. And what that actually means is to be sunken into. It means, come on, it means to be clothed into. It means to step inside of. And so here's what Jesus promises. He says, I promise that a few days from now, you're actually going to be sunken into, seated in, clothed in, surrounded by power from on high. And so here's what happens is that this takes place. I think about, you know, even when I was younger, I tried to bring this up to all the to the young adults, and they didn't really, you know, they didn't really get it. I don't know. I guess Power Rangers isn't like as cool in Canada as it is in the United States. I don't know. Power Rangers is a really big deal. I don't have time to tell you a story about that, but if you ask me later, I'll tell you about how I got kicked out of daycare. My mom almost got sued because I loved Power Rangers so much. But that's a story for another day. And so with these Power Rangers, whenever there was like a big monster or something, like, you know, a dragon or whatever, that they had to fight and defeat, they didn't just fight as these Rangers. They actually, come on, placed themselves on the inside of this bigger robotic figure to where they weren't fighting, but actually the thing that they were seated in was the thing that actually waged war and took victory over what was coming up against them. So what Jesus did is he actually empowered these men to begin to function and wage war and move in a power that actually was not theirs to begin with, but that which they were sunken into, which was the power of the Spirit. And so this first example of this power moment is that the Lord empowered these people, like these people that just days before were denying the Lord and were scattered in fear, now were pastoring a church of 3,000 people. Okay, you guys don't hear me. That's all right. Listen, they were empowered to ultimately birth the early church of Jesus Christ because they chose to let him clothe them. Come on, in the power of the Spirit. The second thing I think about Moses in Exodus chapter 3, again, you don't have to turn there, you can just write it down. But in Exodus chapter 3, Moses, of course, was I believe it was, he was tending the flock of his father-in-law, and he came up on the side of the mountain of the Lord. I love this because one thing that we can gather from this story is that Moses entered into an encounter not just because he was looking for glory, not because he was looking for what to do. He was actually in a family, connected himself to a father, and was serving, believing that God would do something special. If you're trying to find out what you should do and how you can be empowered, don't just go looking for your favorite prophet to come to Edmonton and do a conference, but actually you can connect yourself to mothers and fathers, allow yourself to be seated in a family, serve the heart of the Lord, and you will be in this river of the Spirit and move straight into the encounter that you're looking for in the end. Woo! I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this room this morning, man. So much that I'm like running out of breath when I'm talking. Praise God. And so Moses is on this mountain of the Lord, side of this mountain of the Lord, and it says that there is a bush that was covered in fire, but it wasn't consumed. Again, endued, covered in fire, but it wasn't burned. And it says that Moses wanted to turn to see this great sight. And when he turned, it says that angel of the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said, Moses, it's me. Take off your shoes because where you're standing is holy ground. So, of course, Moses takes off his shoes. Here's the thing. Whenever God starts doing something special, you better make sure to honor it. Amen. When you recognize that, you better make sure to make it a big deal and don't take it lightly just because you go to a church that lets you pray in tongues. You better honor every single moment that you get to experience in the presence of God, not for the sake of being legalistic, but whenever he took off his shoes, it actually allowed him to come touch to touch with what God was doing, not just to watch it on the outside. And he was able to actually fully experience this moment. And what happens? The Lord began to speak over Moses, and he began to give him destiny and purpose. And he said, I've seen the affliction of my people, and I'm going to use you as a deliverer to ultimately bring them out of captivity. And what happened in this moment? Moses did not just see a fire anymore, but he became a man of fire. Listen, if you look into the eyes that blaze like fire of Jesus long enough, you won't just know the man who has eyes like fire, but you will become a man and a woman full of the fire that actually rests in his eyes. And so Moses left out of that place empowered to deliver a people. Come on, clothed in power to deliver a people. And this last one, Jesus's baptism, I think about, I love this. Jesus's baptism. It's probably one of my favorite moments in scripture. And we know, of course, he came up, John the Baptist, and when he went into the water, it says he came out. What happened? The heavens opened up. Yep, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, rested on Jesus, and the Father publicly spoke over him, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Before Jesus ever did any miracles, before he ever did anything that would, quote unquote, try to earn anything, the Lord opened up the heavens. A dove rested on him and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And this was a special moment. And what happens? Jesus gets thrust into the wilderness, right? To be tempted by the devil all these days. And this is really interesting because, of course, he went in like that, but he came out doing what? Proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom, not just salvation, but the fullness of the kingdom of God. How many of y'all want to start demonstrating some stuff in this house? I'm telling you. And so, yeah, come on. And so here's what happens is that Jesus received this word of the Father that began to be public, and that he recognized outside of works, went into the wilderness. I believe things that are already true in the spirit also have to happen in the natural. That's why this was all necessary. And so you see, again, these disciples that came out empowered, clothed in power to birth the early church of Jesus Christ. You see Moses that was clothed in power to ultimately become a deliverer. Jesus was clothed in power to ultimately deliver the entire planet. What are you being clothed in power for right now? What is the body of Christ? Listen, what is our Summit family being clothed in power for right now? Come on, can you see this, man? Can you see this with me, family? What are you being clothed in power for? Could you dare to dream of hunger, suicide, lack, poverty, fatherlessness, being things that you are actually right now being clothed to eradicate in your city and eradicate in your family? I believe that this is what the Spirit of the Lord is doing right now. This is where your faith and hope is strengthened. This is where your questions get answered. Found in this place of allowing him to clothe you in power. We're gonna go deep in this thing, man. You feel this? I'm telling you, recognize this season that we're in. I'm telling you right now, this is not unfamiliar to God. This isn't weird to God. This isn't throwing God off. It's like we've seen this before, but we haven't seen it before, right? Like we're seeing this, but it's new, but it's different. And I'm telling you, man, it's moments like this that lead us to functioning. Rightly, functioning as the glorious church, functioning as the powerful church, functioning as the problem-solving church, the church that is not just a nuisance but solves the problems of the, man, y'all, but actually, come on, is willing to engage the culture and engage government and engage the community in order to be able to bring forth the true expression. Listen, I'm talking about like business, but I'm also talking about people that are selling cars. And I actually had this word not too long ago. I felt like even, man, this is crazy. Botany, like nature and foliage. I feel like there's actually a heavenly intention for that. I don't know if there's anybody in our church family that like works with plants or that actually like owns a plant shop or something like that. I feel an expression of the kingdom as it pertains to botany. Here's the deal. This is where this takes place. The empowered church, watch this, the essential church. The essential church. The church where the community and the government and our nation actually looks at us and recognizes that they can't fundamentally move without us anyways. Because there's an expression that this place will never see until the kingdoms of this land become the kingdoms of our God. This is where this takes place. You might have come into this situation with questions, but baby, you're going to leave in power. You're going to leave in power. You might come into this with unfamiliar type feeling and discomfort, but you're going to leave empowered with the Spirit of God. Come on, can y'all feel this, man? Worship team, why don't you guys come up? I'm going to close with this, man. Jesus, man. Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5, verses 3 through 5. You can, again, you don't have to turn there. I think they're going to throw it up. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture as well. I'm actually going to start in verse 2. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Through him, everybody say through him. Through him we have also obtained access by faith. Everybody say by faith. Into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I love this. Paul says this first. He says, listen, it's by faith that you enter into this grace. What grace? The grace to be able to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not just rejoice in the fact that glory, you're seeing it, but the fact that you have an undeniable hope that you will see it in its fullness. Come on. This is a revelation I believe the 120 had. I believe this is a revelation that people that actually are able to see moves of God through are able to have this kind of revelation, that by faith they grab a hold of a grace to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God that has yet to be revealed. Come on. How many guys believe that the glory of God desires to be revealed in every single place that is covering the globe? Listen, here's the deal. This whole thing is not just about Edmonton. It's not just about Canada. It's about the nations, right? It's about the globe. It's about all of nature. It's about all of humanity and the animals. Whenever the Lord said, I want you to take dominion, subdue the earth, not just people. I'm talking about a glorious expression, like in plants, a glorious expression in science, a glorious expression. Come on, man. And this is what spirit, and this was crazy. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. So how are those two even related? Rejoicing in the hope of glory, but also rejoicing in suffering. How is that even related? Well, he expounds on that and he says, listen, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance actually produces character, and character ultimately produces hope. And this hope doesn't put us to shame because of the love that's important to our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What I believe the Apostle Paul is actually showing us in this portion of Scripture is that you have a grace by the Spirit of God to see every bit of suffering as an invitation to enter into your endurance being strengthened. And as your endurance strengthened, so is your character. Because listen, I don't know about you, but I don't believe that we're going to be able to see the fullness of the glory of God unless we're able to function in some character. You can be anointed all day, but you better have some character. And this, of course, leads into glory. It produces hope. Here's what we have to be able to do. Is that every bit of suffering that we bump up against is to be able to not only take it for face value, but to peer through it in order to see the hope of the glory of God that has yet to be revealed in it. Because this is an example Jesus set, right? Because whenever he was suffering and he was actually being betrayed, he was able to peer through the betrayal and see the glory that has yet to be revealed through your life and through your family, through every mistake that you've ever made. This is what the Lord is doing right now. And here's the deal. If we partake in the suffering of Jesus, right? We partake in the suffering and we partake in every part of his nature. If we partake in his suffering, Scripture says that we were the glory that was set before him. If he was able to come up against what he came up against and see the glory that had yet to be revealed, we have the ability to do the same. And so in that same way, we can rejoice in the hope for glory of God. Man, I've got hope. I've got hope for glory that has yet to be revealed. And I believe that it's this time right now that he's actually strengthening us. Here's the deal, to be able to steward rightly what he's ultimately going to do. There's promise. How many of y'all have promises over your life? How many of y'all believe that there's promises over your families? Listen, come on, just stand on our feet this morning. I feel this, man. One of the things Pastor Chris says a lot is that a jacked up you in the promise is actually not the promise. That's the reason for the journey, for you to be strengthened, for you to be perfected. There's a type of strengthening and empowerment that's necessary as we move into this beautiful expression of glory, so we can be able to rightly foster and steward the spirit of revival. Whew. Like I said before, I just really want this family to understand the significance of where we're at so we can be sure of where we're going. I believe awareness is a very important aspect of the kingdom. I believe one of the most important things that's necessary. I think one of our friends, Bobby Limley, pastors a church in South Carolina, and he says, you know, I believe one of the greatest expressions of spiritual maturity, signs of spiritual maturity, is awareness. So why don't you just pray in the Spirit just for a minute? We're gonna close. I just want you guys just to pray in the Spirit just for a minute. And come on, team, just begin to sing over us. Come on. I feel this minute. I believe that some of us are going to begin to come out of the place of not being able to perceive correctly to a place of stepping through and beyond the veil. Stepping through and beyond the veil. God is going to begin to give us eyes to see like never before. Come on. I believe He's bringing sight to the blind. He's bringing sight to the blind, not only in the physical, but in the spiritual realm. I believe He's giving us eyes to see what He's doing. Come on. Come on. Can you see the forest and the acorn? Can you see what He's doing in this hour? What He's preparing and strengthening and growing us for? Come on, won't you just begin to receive? Come on, He wants to clothe us with power of the Spirit. Come on, can you see the garden and the seed? Come on, can you see this time of shifting and kind of inconvenience as an opportunity for you to be strengthened and empowered with the Spirit of the Lord for the spirit of revival in this nation? We thank You, Jesus, that You're doing this in Jesus' name. Come on, this is our inheritance. This is our inheritance, family. Come on. Let's just begin to sing and worship in this. Come on. We say yes, Jesus. Strengthen us by the power of Your Spirit, God. You're strengthening us mentally. You're strengthening us emotionally. Come on. You're going to be empowered to have a sound mind to make right decisions for your family. You're going to be empowered to make right decisions for your business. You're going to be empowered to move in a place of love and grace and peace. Powered by peace. Powered by love. Powered with strength. In Jesus' name. Spirit, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We receive You. Lord desires to empower you to do things that you would not be able to do otherwise. But this is the glory of the Lord. And, you know, think about times like this where he actually begins to breathe new life into the people of God. To breathe new life, new passion, new hunger into the family of God. And this is what he's doing. And so, Father, we just receive this by your Spirit, God. We thank you that you're making room. We thank you that you're making room for something special. If you read throughout Genesis chapter 1, what you watch is that the Lord begins to create the waters and the skies and the seas, and it says that he separates the waters from the deep waters and creates an expanse in the heavens, and he begins to expand things and he creates space. And then it's after that that he begins to fill them with animals in the sea, animals in the land, animals in the sky, places the stars and the planets in the sky. That shows us that every single time the Lord desires to make room. Do I believe that he created COVID? No, but I do believe he can utilize it to make room in order to plant his original intention, his ultimate intention into those places. So I thank you, Lord, for making room. Won't you just lift your hands this morning? We thank you, Lord, for making room. And we thank you, Lord, for seating us in a place of being clothed in power. You're clothing us in power in Jesus' name. I pray for grace to go deep in the place of devotion. I pray for a heart and a grace to go deep, deep in the revelation that you are doing something so special right now. We thank you, God, empowering us to ultimately be thrust into a place of facilitating what we believe will be the greatest move of the Spirit that we've ever seen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.